talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club. And we'll guess and goof and talk on exchange, read, debate, and think it's exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon. Here we are at Getaway Friday, Friday, June the 7th, 2019. First Friday in June, 18 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club, and it's not much of a club today because, and then there were two. Let's take roll call here to start off the program. Charlie, as many people know, will not be here this afternoon, was not here yesterday. He's on vacation in Pennsylvania. He'll be back next Wednesday. And last night I learned that Weasel, the Weeze, will not be here today. He's got something going on in Cincinnati, so he's not here. So look who's left.
So Scott and I get to argue today.
We get to argue one-on-one today, which will just fuel the idea
that we hate each other,
that there's a long-standing hate here. So this will be good. We can really solidify the idea that we hate each other. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go through the topics. Do you have anything to say today? Anything going on in your life?
No.
Did you find a dress?
Oh, my gosh.
I just want the people to be, you know, I want the people who messaged you after the program last week to be just as angry this week. So I want to start on that note.
I did not go to the gala, so I have no need for a dress.
I went to the gala.
I have dresses. You wear, Scott?
I wore black pants because I was told to wear dark suit, and I wore black pants and a black sports coat and a white shirt.
There you go.
But here's
no
the
jeans.
No,
I got a message about that too. Actually,
I could have wore the jeans because there were people there wearing. Well, what's the message about the jeans?
I got a message from an older woman who was talking about how our generation does not know how to dress properly.
Now, don't you think jeans and a sports coat looks okay?
I mean, it's fine with me, but I don't get wrapped up in like what other people wear. But she was sending me pictures of her nephews who were in a wedding and wore jeans to the wedding as groomsmen, which, I mean, that was the theme of the wedding. It was more of a casual thing.
So it was like one of those country weddings.
Oh, she was so angry. So she wanted to make sure that I told you how to properly dress. And I was like, he's a grown man. That's his
I wore
job.
Okay. I dressed okay. I don't think anybody had a problem with how I was dressed. I think it went okay. Oh, let's see what this is all about.
I don't even know which headphones.
All right. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott Spears, how you doing?
I'm good.
I probably called right in the middle of your program.
You did. Is there anything I can help you with?
Yeah, what time are you there till to pick up prizes?
3 o'clock today.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Prize pickup time, you see.
Darn, I thought that was going to be about our clothing.
Yeah, well, here, but I want to say one thing about the clothing, because sometimes when we're doing this show, I don't hear what you say because other people are talking,
uh-huh,
and I'm trying to listen. And I did not realize that last week when we were talking about the clothes, for people who don't remember, we were talking about the Celebrate Marian Gala before we went on the air. And you said I asked a question in a very negative way about you in a dress, when really all I said was,
I don't think I used the word negative. I just told the story.
No, but the story was what I said to you, because you're supposed to be fancy at this event, dress up, and girls had dresses on there. I was there to see it.
Uh-huh.
I said to you before you went on, because I thought you'd be there, because you're Mrs. I like to go to everything. And I see you everywhere. I see you when I vote. I see you
kind of everywhere.
Yeah. So
that's true.
I said, do you have a dress for the event? Because I've never seen you wear a dress. That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought this was a negative thing.
No, no. That part was fine.
Okay.
But then I told you I wasn't going. We went on to other conversation. And then there was a big pause. And out of nowhere, Scott says again... So do you have a dress?
No, I did. I don't think I did. Well, because you didn't answer it.
You did.
Because you didn't answer it.
Yes, I did.
No,
I
you
told
didn't.
You I wasn't going, but that I had formal dresses, yes.
Now, okay, well, I just thought maybe I didn't hear the answer. Do you think that could have been it? We're fine. You do have a dress, so if there's ever a formal occasion,
yes, indeed,
that you need to celebrate, you'll be okay.
Yes, I promise I'll be within dress code no matter what I'm invited to.
Now, Monday's the anniversary.
Yes.
It's
Charlie's not going to be here for that?
Well, no, I think he'll be back Monday.
Oh, I thought he would be gone till Wednesday.
He won't be back on the air till Wednesday, except for Monday night, but I think he gets back Monday.
Okay.
Let's run down this. The WWGH 5th Anniversary Special, Monday night, June the 10th, 7:15 to 9 p.m. Now, here's all the people who are going to be here. This is going to be fun. Myself, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft, Adam Lepp, Linda Sims, Mike Wilson, Pastor Whitaker, Charlie, Nate Redman, Brandy, Weasel Boy, his wife, and a performance by the Leszewski family, supported by Domino's Pizza. Telephone number 740-383-3030. Are you ready for the big... You were here for the Christmas party.
I was here for the Christmas party.
You had a lot of fun.
It was a thrilling time.
You did. I remember you sang. You had a good time.
Yeah, I remember you harassed me about whether or not I was having a good time.
Well, because you looked like you weren't having a good time. And when you come to those events, I want you to have a good time.
Well, this time I'll bring my party face. How's that?
Bring your party. You want pizza?
All right.
Do you like pizza?
No.
See, right off the bat. We go right into the tank immediately.
Hey, I am who I am.
Now, the 5th anniversary, do you have a... Because you've been here about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a memory that sticks out in your mind? Because that's the type of thing we'll be asking on Monday.
Oh, my gosh. There have been so many memories.
You didn't know it was going to be such a...
No, I had no idea what I was
memorable
walking
experience.
Into.
So, share a memory. We've got time today since we don't have other people.
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead. Share
You're
a
putting me on the spot.
You don't have one?
No, I have lots of memories. I don't know which one to share. I mean, it's been a long journey. So
Journey? You said
journey. My apologies. Journey.
Journey. No, I'll tell you what my biggest memory, well, since of you, because we're talking about this, because I've been here for the whole 5 years, there are lots of good memories. But my first memory, my memory that sticks out of you is when you say something vulgar off the air, and then you come on the air, and somebody tries to talk about it,
I am not vulgar.
You know, one day you said something, I forget what it was. But you said you came in here and it was Charlie and Weasel, and it's been recent, like in the last two months.
Oh my gosh.
And you asked a weird question.
But you never remember what it is.
No, I don't remember the question.
See, I think you're mischaracterizing it
in your mind. You remember it, though, don't you?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
No.
Yes.
I do.
Oh, Weasel would remember it.
I don't have any clue what you're talking about. No, I think one of the funniest things was talking about my Christmas sweater. Because I had a unicorn on my Christmas sweater, and you guys were not okay with that.
No, that was not funny. Well, you had waged war on Christmas.
Absolutely not.
Well, what do you call every night desecrating a Christmas
not
favorite?
Desecrating, just pointing out that it was within the context of what we had talked about on the show. That was the whole point of it.
We talked about we didn't like Christmas songs.
No, we were talking about how traditions need to be under constant re-examination so that we're not just carrying on because that's what we always do. We need to make sure we're progressing as people and as a society. And so I was merely pointing out that even in things that we really, really love, and I love those Christmas movies, we watch them every single year, there are things that are less than pleasant. That's all. It was not
a
war on Christmas.
But you didn't have anything nice to say, period, about any of those films.
That's not true. I think if you go back and look at the posts, there are times when I said...
Are you
going to
do that again
things.
This year?
Probably not.
Tear them down. What got you into that?
I've already pointed out we watch pretty much the same ones every year. So
what started that whole mess?
This show. That's what started
this show.
Yeah, that we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
All of those traditions. It was within the context.
But you are so against tradition. That's another one. I
am not against tradition.
When you said that you should not have to go to the parents to ask,
I'm against that
permission.
Tradition.
Yeah, but you don't think that.
But I'm not against it for everyone else. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But for me, if a man were to go to try to talk to one of my parents about getting permission to marry me, it would be done. That's not the right person.
So you could fall out of love with somebody for just asking your parents' permission?
Yes.
That's insane.
They wouldn't be the right person for me.
Have you ever seen an analyst?
I'm not going to answer that question on air.
We'll check mark that one down as a yes.
I used to sit next to Marge, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I tell you, Marge told me some things when the shows were over.
Oh, she said, did she?
If she hasn't been to an analyst, she needs to go to one. That's what I used to hear. Uh-huh. All right, we're going to get into it now. This was interesting, and I don't understand why this even happened, but apparently Nancy Pelosi was asked this week about impeachment again, uh-huh. which apparently she gets asked every day of her life. And this about of President Trump. And this week, her answer was a little different. She said, "I don't want to impeach him. I want to see him in jail." That's a little harsh. Why say that? You know why I think she said that? I think she said that because she keeps getting asked about impeachment.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to do it. So this was her cop-out to say, "I don't want to impeach him because I want to see him in jail." So this was her way to stay negative toward him, but yet not say she's for impeachment.
I have no idea why she said what she said, but, I mean, I think we should go forward with impeachment. I think the American people need to hear the truth from the sources. We tend to tune in to impeachment proceedings, whereas everything else we kind of tune out, so.
Do you want to watch those?
I would watch them, but I also read the Mueller report, so.
You read all 400 and yes, some odd pages of that thing?
I did.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
I think Chad did.
Yeah, but he's boring, too. You know, he doesn't. Oh, I do want to let people know the Weasel Show will be on tomorrow morning, so he'll be back tomorrow morning.
Oh, good.
You don't listen?
I listen when I can listen.
What have you heard? Did you hear Ludacris last week?
No, I didn't hear Ludacris last
week.
Oh,
boy.
No, but I usually listen. I enjoy his time with his wife on. She's very funny. I think the two of them together are very funny. But I'm a mom. We always have tons of stuff going on Saturdays, so, you know, sometimes I catch the Facebook Live, sometimes I don't.
7:15 to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, The Weasel Show. Now, so that's basically what it is, and I don't think she should have said that. I don't, yeah. You know, you're just going
to
anger
it
people.
It is a weird thing to say.
It's, you want to see him in jail? That's how angry you are?
It doesn't go over well, because there's already a weird amount of talk about putting political opponents into prison. And so there's only one way that can come across, and it's as a political hit job. So, you know, I don't recommend that route for any politician, but Nancy knows more than I do. So,
well, I don't know why we want to see everybody in jail. Is that what we want of our enemies? Because you know what? If somebody breaks the law and people find out about it, I guess that's okay. But when it's your enemy and you're clearly doing it because you don't like them, I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, it's been going on for far too long at this point in this country, and it's disturbing.
I don't know why we want to lock everybody up who's not... because you disagree with me, we should see you in jail? I mean, right. I don't understand that.
No, I mean, people shouldn't be locked up unless they're... You know, unless they've committed a crime and there's enough evidence to convict them. Whether or not that's the case with Donald Trump, I'm not a lawyer. I'm sure that will be taken care of one way or another, or not, because we don't have a very good stomach for locking up our leaders in this country.
Well, I'm not sure that we should lock up nonviolent criminals. I've said this over and over. I don't know what good it did to lock up Martha Stewart. I don't know what good it's going to do to lock up these actresses who did this thing with the schools. What good would it do to lock up Donald Trump? What does it do? I mean, you have to pay for him to be there. I mean, why don't you put him on community service mowing people's lawns or something?
Oh, Lord. That would be...
That would be better.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine Martha Stewart over mowing your lawn?
That I can imagine. I cannot imagine Donald Trump mowing anybody's lawn.
But he would have to.
Well, yeah, but...
I don't...
Just... My brain does not compute.
This is why our budgets are never right. Because we do things that don't justify anything. And then now they can't work. And now when they get out, they can't get a job because they have a felony. And they were never violent to begin with.
Well, I don't think even if Donald Trump were convicted of something, he'd have a problem getting a job. He's his own boss. So
no, but I'm talking about people who can't afford representation.
No, that is true. Yeah.
What are you going to do with them? They're just going to come out and they're going to have to get assistance. I mean, we're not going to let them live in the street.
Yeah.
So for the rest of their life, they'll be on assistance. They won't work. And that'll be that.
Well, we do let a lot of people live in the street in this country. And I do wish that there were more pathways for nonviolent criminals to be, you know, rehabilitated into society, worked back in. But that's not always the way it happens, unfortunately.
Put the Full House mom in prison. I mean, oh, I'll sleep better tonight that she's behind bars.
Well, I mean, I do think our justice system doesn't have much of an imagination for punishment. And there has to be some consequence for people who break the law.
But why is it that? Is that really the scare tactic? Because I guess I don't understand the tactics. It's much like the death penalty. If I had ever seen in the last 100 years that the death penalty caused people not to murder, I would say, oh, okay, well, that's right. That's a deterrent. But it's not. It's not. It has never stopped people from murdering.
Well, no. I mean, I think the people who don't murder, it is a deterrent for them. But the people who are compelled to do those things, I mean, I certainly wouldn't murder anybody because I don't want
if you knew that the death penalty wasn't there, would you go out and murder somebody?
No, but there's always going to be a punishment for murder, and I'm averse to being punished in general.
But could you murder anybody just offhand if there was no punishment?
I don't know. Catch me on a bad day.
Well, see, there you go.
No, I don't think I'm really the murderer.
Apparently, it's all that working out you do. You think you can go out and knock people
very
around.
Very aggressive.
Oh, my God.
No, that's just to make me tired. That's where that conversation was.
No, you've heard about that, haven't you, though?
What?
That people who work out, even women, it makes them more aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think because it boosts certain hormones in the body. But no, I tend to be an anxious person with a lot of nervous energy. My knee is always bopping. My feet are always tapping, whatever. And so in order to wear myself out by bedtime, I have to do a lot of physical activity.
Now, if you saw a good analyst, they could help you with that. And you wouldn't have to go do whatever you do.
Maybe.
I'm just saying. Maybe you see one already.
Maybe that's where I got the idea.
Maybe. Oh, well, now we're putting the pieces of the puzzle together here. This is a little more serious subject, and I think this is an interesting subject altogether. I don't have his name in front of me, but a man just recently moved to California, so as he could put it, he could die a peaceful death. Now, he's got a terminal illness. They've already had to amputate parts of his body. He doesn't want to die. He said that very clearly. He doesn't want to die, but he is in his 30s. He knows he's not going to live forever. It's sarcoma, I think, is the cancer he has, and it's terminal. So, you know, California is right to die. I don't know. Is that wrong?
I don't think so. I support right to die. I think, you know, if you know that your life is going to end, you should be able to end it in a manner which is more peaceful to you or more tolerant for you. Death is, especially when you're dying of a terminal illness, it can be a very long, tedious, painful, exhausting process. And, you know, if I could give somebody the chance to not go through some of that, I mean, we put our dogs out of their misery, right? When our pets get terminal illnesses, we have no problem taking them to the vet and putting them to sleep. And yet we won't offer that same amount of dignity and that same ease of suffering to our fellow humans. It's weird to me.
Well, I think the fear is that somebody could be having a bad day. Somebody might be able to turn it around. You might opt out of chemotherapy because you don't want to go through that sickness, even though on the other side of it, you might feel better. And during it, you might opt to kill yourself. I think that's the fear in it. Because I think, I'm not saying they're the same thing, but I think suicide is a spontaneous thought. for most people. The way they do it, it has to be pretty spontaneous.
I don't think that's the case, actually.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a pretty spontaneous thing. And I think, I'm not saying like right on the spot, but I'm saying it's happened in the last few days. And I think that's true. And I think that's the fear with this, is that you're having a bad spell. And maybe you say, well, I just want to go.
Well, but I think that's because there are a lot of people in our society who see death as the worst possible outcome. And I personally don't see death as the worst possible outcome. There's a lot of pain and suffering in this world. And, you know, I mean, that to me, prolonged pain and suffering is worse than a swift death to me. So, and I, you know, I'm obviously not the only one who feels that way, because this is what people do. So.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, the drugs that they have now, you can be out of it.
Well, I don't think that's completely true either. There's still, we don't know a lot of times whether how much people can feel or sense, or how much they're aware of, even if they're in, you know, a medically induced coma or whatever. So, I know. I'm a mess today. My hair is
What are you
crazy.
There's no mirror.
I know, but I feel...
You're like playing with your hair the entire
show. That's
because
something is...
I thought a fly had landed on your forehead.
...tickling my head, and it's driving me nuts.
Fly. Go ahead.
I don't even remember what we were saying. Oh, yes. Can you sense pain? Yeah, so I don't know that that's the case. I don't think anyone else should be able to dictate to somebody whether or not they're allowed to die. That's weird.
Yeah, but I don't know this. People, we don't look on suicide very well in this society.
But why?
Well, because a lot of times a suicide is emotional and could have been prevented.
Sure, but the reaction to suicide is also emotional. Everybody in this world is going to die. Nobody gets out alive, right? So what does it matter if a person is ready to go at, you know, 35 versus 82 or whatever?
But you don't... Listen, when somebody commits suicide, when you go to the funeral, there's always talk.
Yes, but that's... Again, funerals are for the living. And I understand that there is a grief process that the people who loved someone who committed suicide have to go through.
It's awful.
And that's painful.
I think it's
for
awful
them.
For people.
It is awful. But if that person died in a car accident, the pain isn't going to be any less.
I think you're wrong.
I don't know.
Think you're wrong. When I remember interviewing Joan Rivers years ago, and her husband committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was awful. I mean, she'd had people die in her life, her mother, her father. But she said that was awful because the two things that come along with suicide are, how could you do that to our daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Because you put her through that at a young age. And the other thing was, what could I have done?
Right.
Why did I... If somebody dies in a car, you can't say, what could I have done?
Right, but part of that is... No, I don't think that's true. I mean, my mom died in a car accident, and I had all of those same thoughts.
But it's not like suicide.
No,
suicide also brings hate in the... I remember her saying very clearly, and I think she said this on other shows, so you can probably look it up, but I remember her saying people used to say, well, won't you be happy to see him in heaven? And she said, I don't want him to come near me. Because
right.
I'm
yes,
so angry.
I understand, but there are...
You're not angry when somebody gets killed in a car crash.
No, there are people who
at the person?
Yes, there are people who experience anger at the person who died, regardless of how they died, because they're angry at being left behind. This is one of the natural
reactions to death. But that's not a legitimate thing. You could be angry at somebody who took their own life. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. And caused you a lot of grief.
Yes, but your anger is about
you. I knew you'd disagree with me on this, even though I'm sensible.
So, oh my goodness. So, if you don't go into a suicide thinking that's a selfish act, then you don't feel that anger towards somebody who committed. It's a societal thing.
No.
There are cultures in the world who don't view suicide the way that we here in America view suicide. It's a cultural thing.
If you go out and drive and are hit in the side, there's nothing you could do about that. Now, at some point, I'm going to have to realize that. I may not like the outcome that you died early. I may have wished you had not gone out that day, but I can't do anything about that other driver. There was somebody else involved. I can't do anything about that.
Yes, but you're angry at that other driver.
Right, but I'm angry at them for what they did. But I don't know them, so I don't have to see them. And in reality, I have to say, well, it was a mistake. At some point, I got to say, I don't think they meant to do it. Not only do I know this person, not only, I think, do you feel guilt of why would they want to leave me like that, but it's their choice. They did it to themselves. They had no, it wasn't somebody ran a red light. I think the person who gets killed when somebody else runs a red light, if you gave them the choice when they're on the pearly gates, they'd say, I'd like to go back. The person who committed suicide doesn't want to go back.
Right.
And that's different.
Yes, and we have to look on that moment with compassion for the person who apparently was in so much distress that they did not want to be in this world any longer.
Didn't we have a statistic not too long ago? If not, I know I saw it, that when people commit suicide, and what a horrible statistic it was, that the moment they realize that they are going to die, that last thought that goes through their head is regret.
Yeah, but I mean, part of that, I think, is just evolution. I mean, we're designed to try to survive no matter what the context. But look, I'm not going to look on any soldier or policeman or, you know, mother going through postpartum or whatever and say how selfish that person was for taking their own life. But, and maybe if they had just held out a little bit longer, everything would have been better. It's not going to get better. If you're a soldier dealing with, you know, PTSD or whatever
it
is.
It can.
It might.
I wish they would have gotten help.
Well,
because a lot of them do get help, though. But a lot of them get
They still come to this realization that they don't want to keep going through this. And for me, you know, I only look on that with compassion. And I'm awfully sorry that they experienced things that would get them to that point. But I don't fault them for saying, you know, this is it. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore.
I have compassion for them, but I really do feel differently about their family because I think, why would you put... Because you did put them through it. You did have a choice.
Yes, but everybody's going to die. I think we need to...
But that's different.
Once it's done, we definitely need to offer the families as much support as we possibly can. But if we change the narrative in this culture that surrounds suicide, that will go a long way towards helping those families cope with it. But it's when, I mean, my high school class recently had somebody who committed suicide. And in this day and age where everything is on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, the number of comments they got about how the family of the person who killed themselves, about how selfish that person was and how dare they, and this is a sin against God and all that. None of that is helping the people who are still here. You have to look at it from what is done is done. We need to focus on helping the people who are here trying to cope with it get through. And your opinion about whether or not it's, you know, a sin or selfish or whatever is not helpful to the situation.
But don't you understand that's one of the signs of grief is anger. And that's what they're reacting at.
Yes, I just said.
Right, but I don't
everyone
think...
Everyone feels angry. But you don't focus on the people who matter. If you went to high school with this person 20 years ago, does that entitle you to lash out online to the person's family who was close to them?
When somebody dies, people still talk to them on Facebook. I don't understand any of that.
Because we have a weird culture surrounding death in this country.
Listen,
it's very weird.
People are not going to read those messages.
They do read those messages. Oh, you mean the
dead people?
No, the dead people
don't
read the messages, but the family of the dead people do read the messages. Everyone who's listening, please be cautious. Use your best judgment in these situations because there are people who loved that person who are dealing with this.
But we're going to make our smooth transition now into the fluffier part of the show. Those are important subjects. I mean, I think, yeah, you have the right to end your life, but, you know, there's also some repercussions. There are repercussions.
Yes, everything we do has.
And suicide is a repercussion on how people will think about what you did, just like a drug overdose. And I think people should think about that. Not that they do it on purpose, but you know there's risk involved.
Well, I don't think that guilting anyone who already wants to.
No, I'm not saying guilt.
Themselves not is going to be helpful.
No, it's not guilt. I'm just saying.
It is guilt to say you're going to leave your loved ones behind and people are going to remember you as somebody who killed themselves.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying.
That's not helpful.
No, I'm saying in general, that's what happens. So look at society and go get help. Can you give them the name of your analyst?
No, there is a national suicide hotline. Please do call.
And suicide's on the rise in every state but one. Go figure that one out. Nevada, I think, is a state where it's not on the rise.
Wow.
Go figure. All right.
Good old Vegas.
Well, I guess they're too busy gambling to put it down. This was an odd, and I had to clean this up a little bit to do this on the show, but I thought it was an interesting subject. That one of the big pluses in making a relationship work is when the man does housework.
Mm-hmm.
Why? This would have to be the woman's opinion.
Well, because I think we are moving towards more egalitarian relationships as a society, and, you know, it's an awful lot of work to take care of an entire household on your own.
So when your husband does, like, the laundry... Oh, what's that face about? He doesn't do the laundry.
I don't think we should talk about my...
Well, no, we gotta be relatable. No, like, when your husband does the laundry, okay, is that... You say, oh, boy, I really love him.
Oh, yes, that would definitely make me love him.
But it doesn't happen.
No, he does not do the
laundry. Do the laundry. Does he do any type of housework?
Oh, geez.
No, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this.
Did you do housework when you were engaged? We're not talking about me. You lived with her, right? Yes, we're talking about
together.
You now.
We live together, but that's not the
point. Did you do housework?
Listen, we're talking about you.
No, we are not.
You're married. This is what we're talking about.
Oh, my
goodness.
Does
he do housework?
No.
None.
Mm-mm.
Does this make you angry?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does he know about it?
Yes.
And what's he say?
No comment.
Oh. So this is one of the fractures in your relationship.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
No, I'm just saying. I've read it. Or it's a study.
You know I'm going to get messages about this, right?
Yeah, but he's already angry with me.
Not from him.
Not from him.
He's not going to care.
That'll be your other people? who are these people who send you messages?
Some of them are just random people that I do not know, but yeah.
Really?
Yes, really.
They don't seem to get me though, I don't think.
What do you mean they don't get you?
Well, like some of the things you were telling me before the air, that's all wrong. They don't seem to get that this is a show.
It is a show.
Yes. And we actually had a nice 10-minute conversation before the show started.
And we usually do. There's lots of banter before and after the show.
Laughing and conversations.
Yep.
But this is called an exchange show. It's been on for 10 years. This is the whole point. We disagree. And of course I'm going to ask you about your relationship because that's the subject. It says that housework is a big relationship plus, and you have said, yes, that it is a big relationship plus.
It is.
And then you tell me your husband doesn't do anything.
That is true.
I don't know that you have any other relationships going on. So I have to wonder what strain...
I'm not going to admit that on air.
Ooh, wouldn't that be good? Oh, you know, if you got an extracurricular activity like that going on, that would be good for this show.
Yeah, that'd be good for ratings.
It'd be good for ratings because I think people would tune in to see what's going on at home.
Now I'm really going to get some messages.
No, with somebody, you know, like somebody in town.
Well, I know, but I get, inappropriate messages from people who listen to this show.
Well, that's okay, but I'm just saying,
every week.
I'm just saying, if you started to date somebody in town mm-hmm. other than your husband,
mm-hmm.
but you were still living with your husband, it'd be like Melrose Place. It'd be good for us. Wheeze and Charlie would love it.
Oh, my word.
No?
I don't think Charlie would love it.
I don't think he'd agree with it, but I think we'd all be interested.
Upset Charlie.
No, because from week to week, we would all tune in to hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Is the new relationship working better than the old one? Does the new relationship do laundry? We would have stuff like that.
Yes, if you are a man who does household chores, you know, go ahead and message me with your resume.
There you go. Done deal. Melrose Place coming up next week on this show. Oh, and Charlie and Wheeze return next week, the stuff they'll have missed. But I don't, why is that to a woman? Because I don't understand that. If the woman does housework, that wouldn't be a big relationship plus for me. I wouldn't think, ooh.
That's because it's expected.
No.
The woman. Yes, it no, is. It is expected of the woman to take care of the kids. She is responsible for most of the child care. She is responsible for most of the household chores. And she is responsible for the majority of emotional work in the majority of relationships. This is not a 100%, you know, it's a generalization. But generally, that is true. There are studies on it. I'm not making it up.
I'm just saying, in my relationships or in my future relationships, whether they did the laundry or not, I don't care. A matter of fact, I prefer when they don't, because I don't like when they stay around for a while. I don't see my problem.
Here we go, guys.
No, when they bring their laundry over is when I have a problem.
But if you're living together,
you know, women do that. That's a weird thing, though. What? I don't think anybody's ever talked about this on radio.
What?
You know, women are kind of like animals in this way.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no, I swear to God, this is true. And everybody, but if you get messages about this comment today, then they're a bunch of liars. Let me tell you right now. No, this is true. You know what a girl will do when you start dating her and you don't live together? What's the first thing she starts to do when she wants to further that relationship?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in that situation.
She starts to leave clothes at your house.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
No, that's true. That has happened.
Well, I've also had men leave clothes at my house, so.
Woo.
I mean, I don't think it's exclusive to women.
They just left clothes?
Yes.
Well, okay. But that's true, though. Because maybe it's more presentable with a guy, because if a guy leaves a shirt at a girl's house, nobody would think twice about that, because girls do wear guys' clothes. But there are certain things a girl's going to leave at a guy's house that you know that guy is not wearing. And if the guy is wearing it, then he's probably not dating girls.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
No, it's true. That is true. Every guy out there listening knows this.
I think you have dated a weird group of women. No offense to anyone who has dated Scott Spears, but... I cannot wrap my brain around some of the stuff
you said. When
you
moved in with your husband, did you move in after the wedding?
No.
Okay. When you moved in, was it just all at once, or were you leaving
things? It was all at once.
You didn't leave anything there?
No, it was all at once.
So everything of yours was at your house, and everything that his was at his house, and never the twain shall... You never left anything there?
Correct.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, it is 100% true.
No, but that everybody out there listening knows that's how girls, because it's kind of like a mark.
Well, look, I wasn't sitting there going, you know, oh, maybe we should take this relationship further. Maybe, no, he
you
was
forced
like,
him to marry you.
I did not force him.
You bent his fingers backwards.
He said, you know, from day one, I want you to move in with me. I want you to move down to Ohio. Come live with me. Be with me. That's what he wanted. So it just, when I was ready, it happened. He met me. Rude.
No, I just, but you didn't live in the same state.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
This well, is like see, I wasn't lying. It was
no, but you left that part
once
out.
Once in a lifetime thing.
You omitted that
you
fact.
You knew that.
No, but I'm saying it's because that way if the guy has other girls coming over, you know, the girl is, it's marking the territory. That's what it is.
I think it's just probably forgetful most of the time.
You think?
No, I mean, I would never have, I think I'm a little more direct than that. If I wanted to
I think that's pretty
live
direct.
With a guy, I would just
I don't
say,
know if they want to live with him.
Well, I think you said it was to further the relationship.
Yeah,
what
but I think
mean?
It's it's exclusive.
Oh, well, that, then I would just say, hey, are we exclusive or not? I mean, there's no, I don't
yeah, but you, see,
play
but
those
you
games.
Yeah, but you see, he could say yes, and then on Saturday night when you're back up in Michigan, somebody else could come
well,
over.
Well, he could, but I would, if I'm in a relationship with someone, I have to trust that what they're telling me is true. So I'm not going to, you know, leave my bra there to mark my territory. Like, that's just
see,
weird.
Nobody said that.
I knew what you meant. Don't beat around the bush. Just say it. Bra isn't a bad word. It's just a piece of clothing.
Yeah, but see, when you say stuff like that, that's why these messages come up.
See, this is why he thinks I'm vulgar, because I used the word bra.
No, I'm fine with the... I think... You know, one of my biggest pet peeves is when people talk about certain body parts and they use...
euphemisms.
Yes, I hate that. Mm-hmm. Use the real word.
Yes.
Because, I mean, seriously, we don't know what you're talking about. Why can't you use the real word? So, no, the word you just said is not a bad word to me. But it's not something I would say.
But that's what you were intimating.
That
they were leaving.
That's one of the items, yeah. But there are others that men don't bother with. That's all. That's all I'm saying. But any, if you get any messages about this, these people...
Oh, I'm going to get messages about these this. People, you can trust.
But you're the one who said it. I didn't.
What? You I'm said not going to get messages about... You
I
know,
think you
people
should.
Clutching their pearls because I said the word bra.
Clutching their pearls?
That's that not going to happen.
Are your friends clutching their pearls?
No, my
Who
friends
are your are friends?
Not.
Barbara Bush impersonators?
No, my friends are not clutching my... Clutching my pearls? Clutching their
God.
Pearls, no.
Well, we've already heard you're going to have some extracurricular activities today, so we're...
I'm taking resumes.
Taking resumes. There'll be a lot of people who'll be happy to hear about that. What? I'm not even going to bring it up. That was off the air. I'm not going to bring that up. See how nice I am today? I'm going to leave that story behind that you told me earlier on. But watch out for street corners. That's all I'm going to say. Because there might be a resume there next time you show up.
Yeah, there might.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, we could...
I never heard...
Fine.
Well, that somebody... I'm going to say it because you'll say something wrong. What she told me during the break early... Now, by the way, she just gave me permission to tell this story. Day she was standing at the... Watching a parade, you said?
The Popcorn Festival parade.
And somebody came up and grabbed your backside.
Uh-huh.
And said something in your ear that was kind of iffy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes, while I was with my four children.
And it's traumatized you for life.
Yes, it was not a pleasant experience.
Well, if they're listening, they might be sending over a resume now.
Yeah, that resume will get rejected.
Well, here's another one real quick before we wrap up the thing this week. I don't know about this. I guess I had this when I was a couple. Couples fight about when to leave a party.
Oh, gosh, we're too boring for parties.
You don't go to parties?
Know. No.
Because you don't own a dress.
I go by myself to everything, so
he's not a people I've never person. Seen him anywhere.
He's not a people person.
He did not come to the Christmas party. He won't be at the anniversary party
Monday.
Well, I didn't
know he was invited to the Christmas party.
People brought
their people. If you just
ask
me to come, I just assume it's me. I don't assume
didn't
that.
Didn't you see that night that other people were here?
Well, once I was here.
Well, now you're in the loop.
Well, yeah, I mean, what did you want me to call him? Besides, somebody's got to stay home with the kids.
Somebody's got to stay home with the kids. But, you know, so you don't even go to parties is the point.
Not really. I
not
mean,
together.
Like family parties, not, you know, I don't know what kind of parties. They're. I guess, yeah, there are family parties and there's always one of us that's like, let's get this show on the road. And the other one is kind of. Like, oh, but we have to do this first, or oh, they haven't cut the cake, or oh, you know. Yeah.
So you're not a people person.
I'm not a people person?
No, I just said, it was a question.
I'm a people person.
So
yeah.
You want to stay at the party.
Well, that's why I'm everywhere.
Yeah, but I don't know how long you stay. You're not very sociable. Like when I was when I was voting, like you did not say hello.
Oh, here we go.
And your husband
I
wasn't
did.
There that day either.
Look, if I am out in public and I am... doing something for another organization. It's not just me hanging out or whatever. If I'm there on behalf of the Board of Elections...
Where do you
I'm
hang out?
Home.
Home.
But if, you know, if I go out with friends to a restaurant and somebody, if I saw you there, I'd be like, oh, hi, Scott. But also, I don't
Aren't
want
nice?
Anyone to feel... I don't want anyone to feel, like, obligated to, you know, come talk to me. I know you don't like people, so... You don't. You want
to
be at
home. I
don't like
people.
No, you've said before that you would rather not be around people, that you just want to be left alone. And so I was giving you an out. I was waving to you, but
No, you're wrong about
this. Not making it necessary to come down to my table.
No, what I said was that I don't like false. Well, if I don't know you and you come up and say something to me and then we have to like create conversation about the weather, I don't like that.
Yeah, but we've already established that you and I don't like each other.
We all don't. Yes, I've heard that from several people.
No, I was just giving you an out so that if you didn't want to come down and have conversation with me, you didn't have to. But I was acknowledging that I knew you. Because we've been actually at several events with each other. And I'm always the one that says hi first. That is true.
Where have we ever been together?
At all of the dance.
We've been at the dance things.
Yeah. And
well, I'm supposed to come say hello to you?
No, but you see me and then you look the other way like I don't even exist. So I just assume
that
you'd rather not.
That is such a lie.
That is not a lie.
You're making me seem awful now. I see you at these events and I look at you and then I act like you don't exist.
You have never once waved to me unless I waved first. That is the truth.
At dance recitals?
Yes.
That's it.
We went to the pancake breakfast. We were both there, right?
I don't think I saw you.
Yes, you did, because I waved to you, and you waved back. You did see me.
So I waved back.
But I waved first.
Why does it matter who waves first?
I'm just saying that if my impression is that maybe
so
you
think
don't
I ignore you in society?
Yeah, like maybe you don't want to talk to somebody.
At the pancake breakfast, I had conversations with so many different people. Uh-huh. Walked up to them, uh-huh. Had conversations. Uh-huh. How you doing? Are the pancakes good? Is it a long line? Well, why are you here, Scott? Well, I'm doing the announcing for the dance group up here, and we're going to be on in a few. I had many of those conversations that uh-huh. day. I can't help that you're over there doing like the Queen's
Wave. Yeah, but did they all come up to you and start the conversation, or did you start the conversation?
I don't know.
See, I think it was all them.
But that means I hate people?
No, I'm just saying that you would prefer to not be bothered constantly with people, and I'm not going to obligate you to interact with me because
maybe you have something interesting to say.
I have something interesting to say, I will say it.
So what kind of small talk would you be having at the pancake breakfast? Like if we did, like if I actually walked over to you. Now what would you
You don't need to walk over
How's
to me.
The
all
pancakes?
I'm saying is all look.
God,
hey,
I didn't know this was
it was
festering
the same
for
me
like
on
events.
Election day. I had many conversations, lots of people who did come down to my table, but you did not.
I had the ladies laughing down there who I was with because I said to the woman when she showed me how to put my thing in there, you know, my card into the whatever mm-hmm. machine, I said, "Now did you just shred that?" And she laughed and we were having a good time down there.
Yeah. Well, you like them better than you like me. I got it.
I just don't understand. I did not know you were keeping track of the times that I did not wave to you or that you always had to wave. Do you obsess about things like that?
No, I'm not obsessing over it. Actually, other people have mentioned to me. People that
nobody's
know,
mentioned.
Yes.
Nobody's mentioned
yes.
that. Who?
Well, I'm not going to say their name.
Who?
I'll tell you off air.
Who mentioned that I didn't wave to you?
Yes. They were like, oh, don't you know Scott? From the radio show, yes. Well, why hasn't he talked to you at all? Well, I don't know. Because he hates me. He wishes me dead.
Half the people think I hate you, and half the people
think I hate you.
Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah. But we don't hate each other.
No.
No. I mean, you're okay.
Yes.
You could dress up a little more, but that's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a joke.
At least as dressed up as you are.
Yeah, but it's radio. Who needs it?
Exactly.
But Monday night, you'll be dressed up because we're going to take pictures.
Oh, no. Are we really?
Well, yeah, it's the anniversary. It's Aww. 5 years. Now, you show up to that.
Aww.
I'll say hello to you first. Okay, we're done. I'm filling in for Charlie for the next 2 hours, so I'll be back in 10 minutes. Don't you have anything to say? I don't want to leave you off here, since I'm so aloof and hate people. And
oh, no, just that the mayor, the administration, and the judge are going to mediation on Monday.
Oh, good.
And we've talked about that on this show, so... Supreme Court mediation.
First comes love, then comes mediation. That's how it works. Well, next week, the Wheeze and Charlie will be back, and I'll be back in 10 minutes with some giveaways.
High overhead. Vanover Square Apartments, address 465 Merchant Avenue, offer 1 and 2 bedroom apartments. Phone number 740-389-3462. Central Baptist Church would like for you and your family to join them for worship service Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Baptist Church is located at 2816 Marion Waldo Road. We here at WWGH Radio 1.